In your Bibles, if you would, Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is where we will pick up this morning. And we'll read verses 1 through 15. We read the verse up here earlier as we started, Psalm 97:12, that reminded us of the importance of remembering the holiness of our God, remembering all that He has done for us and our need to give thanks to Him. There are so many passages, particularly in the Old Testament, some shorter, more to the point ones maybe in the New, but many passages in the Old Testament, several in the book of Psalms, that focus on our need to give thanks unto the Lord and to remember Him and His holiness, His goodness, His grace and His mercy and all the blessings that He has given to His people. In the Old Testament, these were written in particular to the nation of Israel, and often the Holy Spirit sees fit to remind the Israelites of particular events that happened to Israel, and how God brought them through, how God blessed them, how God protected them and fought for them. In Psalm 77, here we have a psalm that again is going to remind us and remind Israel of all that God has done. Psalm 77, we'll begin in verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. You know, that's a miracle right there. I can call unto the president, and he won't answer my call. A matter of fact, he will probably not even find out that I called at all. But I can call out to the God of heaven, and He hears me. Amazing. Verse 2, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. You ever felt like this person? Suffering? That's how this person's describing himself there. He remembers God, but he's troubled in his heart because he's suffering. Verse 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. He remembers the good times and the bad times, both in the past and what the Lord had done for him there. But he gets to verse 7. He says, will the Lord cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in His anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah, give a moment to give some thought. That's what Selah thinks. It's a musical term that means to rest and meditate. These are all rhetorical questions. God obviously has not forgotten to be gracious. God will not cast off His children, and Israel in particular here, as they're suffering forever. God did not forget them. God promises will not fail. These are all rhetorical questions of which He knew the answer. But like Job, while he's in the midst of his suffering, these thoughts are pouring into his mind, even though he knows the answer. Verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great? A God is our God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. Let's take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer once more. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all your mighty works that declare who you really are. You are a God of grace and mercy. You are a God of holiness and righteousness. You are a God of omnipotent power and also seemingly near infinite patience with us. Lord, thank you for being our God. Help us to be reminded today of all your mighty works and to give thanks unto the God of heaven, unto Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer and Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As humans, it seems we have a rather short-term memory, particularly when it comes to things that others do for us. As pastor, I deal a lot with people and sometimes their feelings toward one another. I find it appalling, yet a common human experience for people's feelings toward one another to turn on a dime over just one little incident in someone's life. Matter of fact, I find that happens a lot. In that instant, it seems that man has the uncanny ability to forget, to ignore, and to wipe from his mind every good thing that that person has ever done for them in the past. All that matters in that instant is the one bad thing that happened to them. It is sad even that within the church, among God's children, we sometimes have a tendency to turn on one another quickly. After all that God has done and that we have done for each other. They didn't call me. They didn't listen to my advice. They didn't come to my meeting. They didn't like my casserole or, my song, whatever. They ignored me. They wouldn't do fill in the blank. For me, I didn't like the way they said that. We can go on and on, can't we? Most of those things, in the large picture, very insignificant things, but yet things that often have a drastic impact on our relationships with others and cause us to have a blank in our memory about all the things, all the good things that they did for us. Also, as a pastor, I deal with people who have been blessed with so many great things by the Lord, but get hung up on one thing that they perceive to be a handicap or a curse or is unfair, and are therefore unable to thank the Lord and enjoy all the other blessings which he has given to them. We all suffer in this world. Why do we suffer? We suffer because of sin. We suffer because of Adam and Eve's sin. We suffer because of our sin. We suffer because of the sins of others. We don't suffer because of the goodness of God. We suffer because of sin. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from our Father in heaven. Good things come from him. Bad things are a result of sin in this world. And yet, when we're suffering, when we're hurting, when something seems to us to be unfair, we forget that the good things all come from God. We forget where the bad things come from. We might even blame God for things that are not really his fault. We might get depressed over things that are fleeting. At times when I get down in the mouth over something, I'm reminded of people like Alan Joe's son-in-law, Scott, who's been in a wheelchair since college age. And yet, on the few occasions I've got to see him and speak with him, he has a big smile on his face. And he has a heart full of joy. I think of Brother Steve Morris and blessing of his testimony and of his fellowship. Pray for him. His health is not good. I think of Brother Joe that just started recently coming. All of these men are wheelchair bound because of different issues, health issues in their life. But I see the joy of the Lord in their heart. And I'm reminded of the goodness of God and all that we have to be thankful for. Generally, we are both very selfish and very fickle people with very short-term memories, except when it comes to the bad things. Bad things we remember. The good things, not so much. What we need to do is to remind ourselves of the good things, and not only at Thanksgiving, by the way, and all that God has blessed us with and all that His mercy and grace has made available to us. If you are aggravated with someone or down in the mouth over some occurrence or trial in your life, remember the goodness, the mercy, the holiness, the love and compassion of your God. Turn with me to Psalm 105, if you would. Psalm 105. And let's read verses 1 through 7 of Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing songs, psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. We'll stop there. We'll stop there. Again, we're reminded, first few words of the psalm, oh, give what? Well, give thanks. And then reminded of a few things that God did for Israel. Covenant that He made with him that extends to us in greater fashion through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins, not just of Israel, but for the sins of the world. How blessed we are, and how easily caught up in the negative. How easy it is for us to forget the positive. How hard for us to remember the good that God has done for us when we're frustrated by the evil that surrounds us. How easy for us to forget the goodness of others around us by one just small sin against us. Oh, how wonderful is the reminder to thank the Lord and to others for their goodness. My sermon just has 2 points this morning. So we'll see how long those 2 points are, but just 2 points. Point number one, remember what the Lord has done for us and praise Him for it. Point number one, remember who? Remember the Lord. Remember His mighty works and give thanks unto His name. Just a brief synopsis of a few of those blessings that God has given to us. He created this world and all its pleasures for us to enjoy with Him. Why is a great portion of our world and our academia determined to erase creation from the minds of the next generation, to take God out of the picture, because if they knew who created them, they might feel thankful. If they knew who created them, they might feel accountable. God is the one who made us. God is the one who put us here. God is the one who gave you life. Not science, not nature, not evolution. Jesus Christ. It says in John 1, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He created it all. He is not only our Savior, He is our Creator. And all that we are, and all that we have, and all that this world has for us to enjoy, all the good things are the creation of our loving Heavenly Father. Man and woman, child, mountains and valleys, I'm looking forward to that. I love the winter here in Florida. I do not enjoy flat land. I so much look forward to driving up and down mountains and through valleys and around curves. And my children aren't quite as excited as I am. The moon and the stars, the grass and the trees, puppies and kittens, and mockingbirds that sing. It's one of the things that seems to have followed me so far. Everywhere I've lived, there's been mockingbirds. And right now we have an antenna that sticks up right by our chimney that we never use. But it serves as a perch for a mockingbird that lives there. And he sits up there and I can hear him singing down through the chimney in the living room. And it's a blessing. Remember that He created us. Remember that when we sinned, in Adam and Eve in the garden, He did not cast us off altogether, but made a way through the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that we might one day be restored in our relationship with Him and restored to the way where we were created to be, eternal and sinless beings. God did not create us to deal with death. He didn't create us to be sinners. He created us perfect in His own image and likeness. But sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the human race through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And we deal with those things. But praise the Lord, He didn't cast us off altogether. Praise the Lord, though we're separated from Him for a time because of sin, that through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, promised to us in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, the plans of our enemy, the devil, have been conquered, have been defeated. And we have the opportunity through faith in His Son to be redeemed. When the world was in full-blown rebellion against Him, He saved Noah and his family and preserved humanity's seed upon the earth. If He hadn't done that, we wouldn't have this opportunity today to praise Him here or to praise Him there. But our God is good. When the world had begun to stray once again, He chose out Abraham to provide a seed of redemption and a people for His name's sake. When the Middle East was in terrible famine, He preserved His seed upon the earth through Joseph, who He sent ahead to Egypt to store up food, to provide not just for the Egyptians, but also for His own family, though they didn't know that at the time. When His people cried out for redemption, for deliverance from slavery, He sent them Moses, and He parted the Red Sea so they could so they could be delivered and see the army of the Egyptians no more. When they entered the promised land, he subdued all the mighty hosts thereof. When they sought for a king, he anointed David and promised that one day he would send the Messiah, the seed of David, to sit upon his throne and to rule and reign in peace forever. When they turned their back on God, again he punished them, but he did not wipe them from the face of the earth. He preserved a remnant and brought them back under Ezra and under Nehemiah. When the fullness of time was come, he sent forth Jesus, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, us, that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God manifest in human flesh. He walked among us on this earth, and he died for us. He bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows, and he died not for his sins, for he had none, but he gave his life for ours. He rose from the dead. He ascended back into heaven, where he sits on the right hand of God the Father, interceding in behalf of his children. I am secure in Christ today because I have a faithful Savior that intercedes for me, who gave his life for me. He rose again and is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And he secures me a place in heaven by his righteousness, not by mine. He has given us the Holy Spirit, who descended in dramatic fashion upon his children in Acts 2, but who quietly and yet powerfully baptizes every believing child of God into his family, seals them until the day of redemption, and empowers and guides and comforts them in the journey of our Christian life here. Praise God. I do not walk alone. I have a Savior. He's not only at the right hand of the Father in heaven, but he lives inside my heart. He has given us his word, his completed revelation, that we might know the way of salvation, that we might know his will for us, his children, and that we might know his plan for the world. You know, he didn't have to give us all of that, but he did, because he loves us. He did because he wants to bring us into his confidence. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's told me the future plans he has for this world, to give me joy and to bring me comfort and to motivate me service and to reach others with his good news. He has given me in his word his sufficiency for all that I need to know to serve him and to rejoice in him. He has preserved that word and raised up people to translate it into our common tongues, that we might be able to read it for ourselves and share it with others. Now, I studied Greek in college. I could probably still bring my Greek New Testament up here and read it to you in Greek, but I'm a little rusty with my translating. And I didn't study Hebrew at all. It's Greek to me. Anyway, sorry, my jokes don't work usually. But most of us can't read anything but English. There's a few of us that are blessed to speak or read several languages, Brother Ed. most of us need English. Praise God, we have his word right here in our own tongue. We're Spanish, we're French, God is still raising up people to translate it in languages that still do not have it. What a privilege we have to be able to read it for ourselves. I don't have to trust a bishop or a pope or a priest to read it for me. I can read it myself and know what it says. And I can share it with others. He has raised up, he raised up the apostles and their associates who carried that gospel message to Israel and across the world. He's raised up missionaries and devout Christians who brought it to us. You know, I'm here today, and I know Christ is Savior because somebody gave me the good news of the gospel. Somebody proclaimed the word of God to me. One of those guys' name is John Riggs. He was my pastor when I was a kid. It was in one of his services that I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's not the only one that brought the gospel to me, but he was one of several. Somebody brought the gospel to him. And somebody brought it to them. Thank the Lord for those people and for those that are willing to go out and spread the news across the world today. There was a day when we were the mission field, and now we send out missionaries all over the world. What a privilege. And thank God for those who go. He has saved us from an eternity in hell and promised us a home in heaven, eternal life. What a promise. He has forgiven us all of our sins and stated that he will remember them no more. Isn't that great? Think about that for a moment. He has forgiven us of all our sins, and we'll remember them no more. He has provided us with this place to worship, with these people with which to share his worship, praise, and service. I am thankful today for you. I am thankful for someone to worship and praise God together with. I am thankful for a place that we can do it. And all that thanks goes back to who? It all goes back to God. He has given us homes and families and health and jobs. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He has placed us in a land where we have had the freedom to worship him openly without fear. And one thing we most definitely in the United States take for granted. Because while you worship here freely, there are others who worship and are worried for their life. Because there are those who would kill them for it. These are just a few things that we can be thankful to God for. If we started counting our blessings, we would probably be here through the end of the service tonight. I hope you will share a few of those. I hope you'll come back and share a few of those with us tonight. Remember what he has done. And don't forget that was he who has done it. Genesis 45, 7 through 9. And God sent me before you. Now this is Joseph speaking in Egypt to his brothers. He says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Now, what sticks out to you in those verses? Here's what sticks out to me. God did this. God did this. You go back and you tell my father, God did this. God knew all along. Joseph said to his brothers, you thought you put me here. You thought out of evil you put me here. But it was all part of God's plan for good. That reminds me of Romans 8:28. For all things work together what? For good. Now, all things aren't good, but they can work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Joseph was a splendid example of the goodness of God and how God had put him there and how God had provided. It wasn't his brothers. It wasn't even Joseph. It was who? It was God. God warned the Israelites when they went into the promised land. He warned them several times in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, please don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. When you get into the land and you enjoy the luxuries that I have provided, don't forget that they were provided by me, God said. Don't forget to thank the one who provided and gave you all this. This Thanksgiving, don't forget. Tomorrow, don't forget. Next year, next week, don't forget. Remember what God has done for you and give him thanks. 1 Chronicles 16:34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks unto the Lord. Point number two, remember what others have done for you. This Thanksgiving, don't just remember what God has done for you, which I hope you will and do, but also remember what others do for you. We so quickly forget. We do. You ask me what such and such did for me a month ago, I likely have forgotten, just like you. Don't forget. Remember to thank them. Remember when you fellowship with them. Remember when they cross you, the good things that they've done. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul says, I thank God when I think about you, when I remember you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Ephesians 5:4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. These are a list of things that don't belong in the life of a Christian. But what does belong? But what? But rather what? Giving of thanks. Now I think that extends from God also to who? To others that have done things for us. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of what? Giving of thanks be made for all men. Even some that, you know, rub you the wrong way. Give thanks for them too. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken the word unto you, the word of God, whose faith followeth, considering the end of their conversation. Remember those who have ministered unto you. And could be a Sunday school teacher, a parent, friend, a Bible teacher. Extends to many people that have brought to you the Word of God. Thank God for them, but remember them. It might be good to tell them thanks also. 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is a list again of bad things that become common in the life of sinful men. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's the next one? Unthankful. You tell me, do we live in a society that is unthankful? Unthankful to God? Many of them won't even admit he exists. Some of them who admit they exist don't care what he thinks. nonetheless feel necessary to thank him. I think sometimes as Christians, we fall way short of that ourselves. Unthankful to God, unthankful to others. One of the blessings that I receive every day, that is no small blessing in my life these days, is every day I go down to my, when I drop my, I was going to say my kids, now it's just my kid, because David's in college, but when I drop Joshua off at school, I also am a crossing guard when I pick him up the same. And I get to hold a stop sign and stop traffic on a road, which can be interesting some days. But you know what is such a great blessing to me every day doing that job? The dozens of kids that cross that street every day and say, thank you. And more than 50% of them do. Every day. Some of them twice a day. It is a blessing. It is a blessing to others when we remember to say thank you to. And we say it so little. We can be a blessing. Just those little words. Thank you. It means a lot. We should remember and be thankful for family, our parents, for all they went through for us. No parents are perfect. Maybe some are less perfect than others, but for those of us who had parents, a mom and a dad that took care of us and taught us and protected us, did their best, we should be more thankful than we often are. Thankful for what siblings have done for us. It's thankful for what our spouses have endured for us, our better halves. Thankful for our children who put up with us. You say, but no, Pastor, you understand, I put up with them. No. It goes both ways. It goes both ways. Thankful for friends. Friends who stay with you through thick and thin. Friends that are there for you when you're sick, or to comfort you when you're sorrowful or bereaved. Again, sometimes it's we so quickly forget the good things that friends do for us when we when they just say one thing that rubs us the wrong way. Thankful for church family who pray for you, who maybe send you a card or an email or visit when times are rough, who are there to encourage you when you come to church, and here to lift you up in prayer before the Father. Thankful for co-workers who help us out. Maybe helped you out when you didn't understand something. Filled in for you when you couldn't make it. There are so many people we have to be thankful. Oh, yes, there's reasons we have to be upset with them. Yeah, there's reasons for us to write them off. But don't. Give it to the Lord and remember the good things that they've done. And thank them. And thank the Lord for them. Have you expressed gratitude to them lately? Have you expressed gratitude to him lately? Have you allowed other significant or unsignificant things to cause you to forget what others have done? We do. Be honest. We need to be reminded to put those things behind us, to remember the good things that they have done. Remember the good things. Let go of the bad. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Yes, this is the conclusion. In conclusion, I'd like to read just a few verses. Philippians 4 and verses 6 through 8. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be careful for nothing. It means don't be anxious or worried about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God, thanksgiving to others. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Take it to who? Take it to God. But take it to God with a grateful heart. Take it to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Take it to God with gratitude in your hearts. He will give you what? He'll give you peace. Peace that the world cannot understand. Now verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on what? Think on these things. Remember the good things. Thank the Lord for them. Thank your family, your friends, your co-workers. Thank the Lord this Thanksgiving. Remember all that He has done. And what did He do? He did this. While we were yet sinners, He sent His Son, and His Son died for you. Have you received His offer of salvation? Have you received His gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? Most wonderful thing you can do in thanksgiving to God is to receive His gift and His Son. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and grace. We thank You, Lord, for being our Creator. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to know You, Savior and Lord, and for the sacrifice of Your Son on Calvary's cross. Lord, please forgive us for having a heart of ungratitude. Lord, please forgive us when we allow ourselves to hang on to the grudges of the past or allow the sins and irritations and trials of the present to drown out the voice of gratitude that the Holy Spirit has put in our hearts. Lord, remind us this Thanksgiving and remind us every day of the year what You have done and all the wonderful reasons we have to be thankful. And Lord, help us to extend that mercy and grace to others and that we would show them a heart of gratitude for the things they have done and be willing, Lord, to remember the good things and not cling to the negative. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.